my friend. And where go the echoes of our laughter ringing the air? Oh, wherever the time goes, I will see you there.
The time is almost up. Thanks for listening to Big Band Broadway and Beyond. God bless, and if anybody asks, tell them Joe sent you.
Must we let it end? And where go the echoes of our laughter ringing the air? Oh, wherever the time goes, I will see you there. I will see you.
This is WHFR Dearborn, and now it's time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views about Dearborn, Michigan, and the surrounding area. And today is the 13th of April. Happy Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Tax day is coming up next Tuesday, for those of you who, like myself, haven't yet filed the needed documents. It's Tuesday because, of course, the 15th, the traditional day that taxes are due, both for federal and state, is a Sunday. So that would make it bump it to Monday. But Monday is a legal holiday. Hmm. And I couldn't figure out what that was, and I haven't looked at my day planner. But so Tuesday, midnight, is the deadline, the 17th. Yeah. So very, very exciting. We've got a phone call coming in. I think it's a special guest. So online here we go.
All right. I want to figure out what this extra special holiday is. Could it be like an Arbor Day, do you think?
Hello, this is WHFR Something like that. Radio. Jay speaking. This is Jay. Dennis is here. Is this Don? Okay. I'm going to put you on the air live, and we'll talk for about 10 or 15 minutes about Michigan Fair Tax, okay? All right. Hang on.
He asked for me?
Yes, he did.
Wow.
Big deal.
Yeah.
Yes, Dennis is very famous. Our guest for the day is online right now. It's Don Dabrowski from Michigan Fair Tax Organization. Hello, Don.
Good afternoon, Dennis. How are you today?
Oh, I'm Jay.
But, he's Jay. I'm Dennis as well. The both of us are here. Be here.
Yeah, you've got two of us online here.
Double the questions, Don.
Very, very exciting time. We did speak to you last year about this time because I know that around tax time, people are always thinking about, well, I really don't like to pay these taxes. I don't like the hassle of especially having to figure out what I owe in income tax, both to the federal government and the state of Michigan in this case. And it's been my personal feeling, and of course opinions on this show are not necessarily those of Henry Ford Community College, where we're based. I've always felt that the Michigan Fair Tax proposal was a tremendous step in the right direction. So for those people that haven't been following the show and maybe tune in today for the first time, could you briefly state what the Michigan Fair Tax Initiative is all about? I know there's several ins and outs that have to do with it. But the big deal is no more income tax if it passes, right?
That's correct. The income tax would be totally eliminated on the state level. And that would be good for us because we'd eliminate all that paperwork that goes along with income tax. And, of course, just as a reminder, you don't have to cut down trees if
well,
you don't
there you
have
go.
Paperwork.
That's right.
So
yeah.
That's environmentally sane way to go. But aside from that, the fair tax allows people to pay their taxes in the amount and control the amount of taxes that are paid because as a retiree or as any person, I can buy something used and there's no tax. But
right.
When I buy something new, I pay the tax, and that tax would be 9.75 on the state level. It would be a 3.75% increase over the sales tax we now pay,
mm-hmm.
but it would be on everything. It would be on food and services and everything that we pay.
And that's on
However,
purchasing.
The necessities of life would be tax-free because the state would give us a prebate or a check each month to pay the taxes on all the goods and services that are necessary for a good life.
Right, so that's and that's computed according to federal guidelines about who's at the lower levels, the poverty levels, and on your website, which you should mention probably up front, which is mifairtax.org. There's actually a nice document that just talks about that prebate and even gives examples of how much those monthly checks would be depending on where you are in different income levels.
What size family you have.
What size family you have, in other words, yes.
That's correct.
Right. And I just think it's a tremendous idea. To me, increasing the sales tax 3.75% is percent is not that... it doesn't seem that much to me. Of course, I do have, even though I'm retired, I have a part-time job here at WHFR, so I have an income, okay, which is nice, but it doesn't seem that much. In fact, it's almost, I was trying to get my head around this the other day, if corporations also, and they're involved in this proposal to pay no income tax. Right now, Governor Snyder's proposal reduced their income tax to a flat 6% on their, I guess it's on their profits, and that's gone too. How can only 3.75% additional sales tax make up for all that?
Well, let's start with this fact.
Okay.
When the fair tax bill was written, it had to go to the Michigan Treasury Department and be vetted and be looked at and make sure that the revenue that would be replaced would be the same as what we had for the income tax that we're eliminating. And so, the government isn't going to give you the right to do something that is going to allow them to have less money. So the 9.75 rate is revenue neutral, which means that the amount of money that we now take in from income tax and sales tax, eliminating the income tax and going to a 3.75% increase in the sales tax would be revenue neutral. It would cover the same amount of money that we currently have. And one of the interesting things is that if, first of all, a vote of the people is required to change the sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
That's in our Constitution.
Right.
So people say, well, how do we know that the government isn't going to increase the rate? Well, the bottom line is they can't increase the rate without the vote of the people. So it's 9.75 cents, and that has to stay in position until one of two things happens. We get a vote of the people that says we're going to increase it or decrease it.
Mm-hmm.
Or in the legislation itself, there are two things that could possibly happen. One, if there was an excess of funds at the state level, then the rate could be reduced in the following year. That's in the bill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there are also people talking about the possibility that instead of reducing the rate, we would go for a dollar-for-dollar rebate to everybody on their property taxes.
I see.
So as the economy grew, your property taxes would go down.
Right. Okay, so in my situation, as I see it, I would not have to be responsible for the 4.35% income tax for myself as a person right now.
That's correct.
And of course, since I did mention I'm retired, I have a pension after 40 years of being a full-time teacher, and that's just starting to get hit with 4.35%. I didn't plan on that. You know, I've been retired for 4 years, and all of a sudden, I have to pay 4.35% already being withdrawn. So, I mean, if this passes, not only don't I have to pay the income tax of 4.35% on the work that I do, but also the 4.35% that I wasn't expecting was going to hit me anyway.
Sure.
On my pension is going to be removed too. So that tax is gone because that's an income tax also, right? So,
that's correct.
Okay. But, and then it's true, I have to pay an extra 3.75% in sales tax on whatever I buy. And that would include the big items too, right? A new house,
correct.
A new car?
That's correct.
But not a used house or a used car, is that true?
That's correct. If I buy a used house or a used car or a used boat, then there is no sales tax on that in the current iteration of the law.
Yeah, okay. Dennis has a question.
I have a question, Don. Back to what you said, one of the ways that they would make a difference was to, did you say, give a dollar-for-dollar rebate on the property tax?
Yes.
Now,
there is discussion up in Lansing right now that one of the big things that is affecting people in Michigan is sky-high property taxes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they are talking about the fact that the law we have written, or the one that we're talking about putting up before the people for a vote, says that the rate has to be reduced. So if we came down, let's say we had a fair tax, and we came down to the end of the year and the government received the same amount of money they had last year, but there was a surplus.
Right.
Then the current iteration of what's up there says that we would reduce the rate. So the following year, the rate might not be 9.75, it might be 9.25 or 8.75, depending on how much funds was there.
Right.
And somebody said, well, okay, what would happen if we gave everybody a rebate on their property tax instead of lowering the rate, and we would get rid of another tax that everybody hates over the long run? The projection for the fair tax is that the government would grow at the economy would grow at approximately 10% a year. And if that was true, that'd be a 100% increase over a 10-year period. If we kept, and remember, the government cannot grow any larger because they don't have any more money.
Right.
I mean, well, except for inflation, okay? They're going to allow them to have the current year's amount of money plus the amount for inflation. But that would still mean that there's money left over that would be applied either to the rate or to the property tax.
Yeah, and both of those, that's where my confusion is, because if the rate goes down, then it's a matter, I mean, we know that things work in cycles, and it seems like moving things up and down, because it would go up again eventually, you know what I mean? If we didn't have as much of surplus next year, we better get back up. There's that danger, correct?
I don't think that's true.
Okay.
I think that what they're saying is that those are, you know, they know it's going to grow, and if the economy grows 10%, then, you know, it's the amount of money plus 10% for the federal or for the state government, and if there's money left over, which there should be, then we have either the right to put the rate at a lower rate, or we have the right to replace people's property tax.
Okay.
And we're not sure which one that's going to be.
Well, there's a lot of people that don't pay property tax because they're renters, too, and I just look at that's a...
Whether or not there's excess money at the end of the year, and as you said, there's two different ways that this proposal, once put into once accepted as a, on the ballot by the public of Michigan, that could be worked out. I think the beauty of this, and it's the beauty of the national fair tax proposals too, which have been supported by several politicians, usually Republicans, although I can't figure out why it would just be a Republican. But Mike Huckabee in his last run for president, and I think he's still supporting the national fair tax. And one of Governor Romney's tax advisors, financial advisors, in an editorial in New York Times said that he felt that's one of four basic principles is a consumption tax. And, you know, it'd be good. I know Herman Cain was in favor of a fair tax proposal, even though he would sort of phase it in nationally. So we have politicians talking about how that would work out. I think the beauty of it is, first of all, it's excuse me, right into the microphone I cough too, is that it's so easy to see. Every time you make a purchase, you see and know that that money is the money going to support the government. And no loopholes, no exceptions.
That's right.
I love that. You know, I know that some people who are getting a tax advantage because of, and it's not necessarily nasty, but who are, you know, whether it's extra kids in the family or whatever on their income tax, there's all kinds of different deductions.
Right.
67,000 pages of tax code, I believe, for the federal government. Unbelievable. You know, the complexity of it, too. And so you just wouldn't need all the bureaucracy, and you wouldn't have the time lost by people trying to do their taxes. And I think it's got to be a win-win for everybody. I don't understand how more people are not coming on board here. Do you have a reason for that? I mean, we'll talk about where it's going to go and how we can further this if we're in favor of it in just a moment. But
well, let me share something with you. The on the national level, fair tax took a look at the 25 districts that were a part of the super committee back in November. So those districts were represented by both Republicans, Democrats, and Libertarians. And there were two districts here in Michigan that were looked at. One was up in Traverse City, and one was over around Grand Rapids. And in each district, they surveyed 40,000 people. Of that 40,000 people, 56% were in favor of a fair tax. So that's a plurality. But I thought the interesting figure in there was the fact that of that 56%, almost equal thirds were either Republican, Democrat, or Independent.
Wow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that was an amazing, and it happened in, not only in districts in Michigan, but right across the nation.
No.
So we're looking at, we do know that there are Democrats that are on board, and there are Independents that are on board, and there are Republicans on board, and that's the first indication we've had.
Yeah, it's, because of the so-called gridlock or the nastiness between the Democrats and Republicans, who often don't have any new ideas or are not all that different in many cases in terms of what they're asking for, but just the inaction is the worst part, that you fight somebody else's ideas, not because they're bad ideas, but just because they come from the other person. That's crazy. That's unbelievable. It's not the way to get anything to happen good for our society. And I'd like to believe I'm an independent, open-minded person. I can't see a good reason why Democrats wouldn't be behind this, at all, other than the fact that it's been a lot of Republicans who have primarily been the ones to include it in their proposals.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I can't support it because Republicans support it. But if you look at the proposal, I mean, even for Democrats, let's say progressives, if you like a graduated income tax, well, in this case, the people that buy more stuff have to pay more tax.
That's correct.
I think that's kind of like the graduated tax, but in a way, that's only fair if you... to me, it only seems if you have the extra money and you want those things, then you want to support your government a little more. And I've always felt that it's completely undemocratic to have a tax system that requires such tension and guilt feelings on honest people once a year when they have to file this paperwork, too.
Right.
It's just, you know, okay, I use a computer program to help me calculate it, and I'm happy to pay, you know, to support my government services, but I always feel so guilty. And I also know all those exemptions that I don't have. I mean, I know people get exemptions for things that might have been kind of a good idea, but I don't see how that is necessary in the big picture of things. Right. And this proposal, if we can get out of the gridlock situation, if the public can be well informed about this Michigan fair tax proposal, at least, if not the national one, which one wouldn't replace the other, it would be, you know,
they'd be separate issues.
Right, because you'd be supporting your federal government programs. And and for the people, even, you know, IT partiers, and say, well, it's not saving any money initially. Again, it's that target number that if you want to reduce taxes, if you want to reduce that percentage on the things that you buy, find out a way to save on government costs, you know, the cost of running government.
That's right.
As it is, we're going to be saving, imagine, nationally if we wouldn't need the IRS.
Well, one of the things that's true is that under an income tax system, it's possible for people in high places to manipulate the tax code for one reason or another. You know, just giving, for instance, one of the businesses in my community got a $17 million tax break recently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. But where do those taxes get made up? And the answer is they get made up out of my pocket and your pocket.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so putting an end to the manipulation of the state tax code, I think, would be good for Michigan. And that's precisely what the fair tax would do. It would make it would put everybody, business and individuals alike, in the same place. We don't care how you earn your money. You take it all home at the end of the week.
Yeah, no withholding.
No
withholding on state
But the bottom line is when you go to the store, you're going to pay the tax. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people out where I live that are running cash businesses, I know, 24/7 garage sales, stuff like that. And I even see people taking cash for things that, you know, regular businesses taking cash so they don't have to report it.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm sure that's what that's about.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if they take cash and they go to the store and they have to pay a sales tax, there's no way they can avoid the tax.
Oh, my gosh. All the waiters, waitresses, and bartenders around the state right now are shaking. Talk about a cash business, huh? You know what it seems to me?
No, tips are still fine. I mean, you know.
It's cash income.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, his point is, of course, they'll have to pay a little bit more sales tax on everything they buy.
Because right now they're not reporting half of their cash income.
No, but it's not that much overall. I mean, if you don't pay the 4.35% income tax, and it's only 3.75% on whatever you buy. Of course, if you buy a lot of stuff, then you'll still wind up paying more. But it revenue neutral, as Don just said. We're talking in just for a few more minutes with Don Dabrowski, who is both the state media director and the editor of their newsletter. I highly recommend, if you want to be more informed on this topic and this ballot proposal, which will eventually get to the ballot, we hope soon, so that we, the state of Michigan, can make a decision on it. MIFairTax.org. You can sign up for their newsletter, so all the different events coming up and how you can get in touch with people locally to organize and talk to your local representatives and help with the ballot proposal signatures when needed. It's all there. So MIFairTax.org. What's coming up next for this the campaign to get this on the ballot?
Well,
there's probably no hope for it this November ballot because
no, there's no hope for it this
the huge
ballot,
number of signatures
sure
needed.
It's going to be on the next time.
Okay, so that would be 2014.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We have good reason to believe that it's not only going to be represented, but we're going to have the co-sponsors to be able to get that thing done. We're looking at a goodly number of co-sponsors in the Senate and a fair amount in the House, and that is growing.
Good.
So, you know, one of the things that's important here, we have a little deal coming up in a few days for Tax Day called the Email Flood.
Mm-hmm.
And to ask your listeners to flood the offices of their representatives with emails.
Now, do you want this actually on Sunday the 15th? Because I just got done telling my listeners, you know, the official date for taxes is the 17th, but the email said, you want Sunday?
Send them an email that says, we want a fair tax.
Right.
Simple as that. And the more emails we get into the offices of representatives and senators in Lansing, the more they understand that we, the people, need a fair tax.
I sent Governor Snyder an email about it last year, and only one last year, but his office didn't even respond. They received it. I thought that was kind of nasty.
You didn't even get an autoresponder?
Yeah, I mean, Jesus. Thank you for your comments. We'll take it under consideration. That's usually what I get whenever I send emails.
That's what you say when I say stuff to you.
Well, of course. Rightly so. No. Just joking here. There's a number of things you always have organized. I thought it was interesting for those people who are already in the know and ardent supporters. Someone in your organization has got a bus trip to Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Coming up, leaving Sunday or something from Grand Rapids. And then
that's
maybe
not the best news.
No, go ahead.
It cost you $20 for the trip.
Yeah.
How can you do that?
Yeah, somebody is underwriting that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but still, this is three days, and it's sort of like I remember my senior trip in high school. It's like bus overnight to get there, bus back overnight. Well, so you better be able to sleep in a bus, but then a couple of nights in a hotel at Dulles Airport, and then there's several different rallies. Apparently, Herman Cain is going to be talking.
Yes. I'll be the King.
A fair tax supporter rally, and then there is there's a big rally with, is it Congressional Committee or whatever? Or
Yes.
Okay. And they can find out more information by going to mifairtax.org about the...
They can find that at fairtax.org.
Oh, at fairtax.org. Yes, it's a national thing. Right, of course. Yeah, it's going to Washington, D.C., folks. So if you don't have anything scheduled for Sunday through Tuesday, they're coming back actually on Wednesday morning, right?
Yes,
I think from that. Yeah, so that's a wild, crazy adventure. But if you know, and you're expected to hold signs and do some cheers at points because you love this idea so much. But I think it's a great idea, that and any kind of involvement project. So that's for people that already understand what they're, you know, what it's about, of course. But that's a lot of fun. I'm glad somebody is underwriting that. $20, folks. And there's a couple of lunches or a breakfast involved, too. Yeah,
does not include all the food.
But no, not all the food, no.
Good portion of food.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I wish I didn't have to stay home and do my taxes. Really? I mean, that's what I'm doing this weekend.
We should share with your listeners what the fair tax is really designed to do.
Go ahead.
And that's, you know, how many of your listeners would like jobs of all descriptions to return to Michigan?
Mm-hmm.
And we know that if a fair tax would hit Michigan, that we would be the best place in the nation to do business, and there would be companies that would be fighting to buy these empty factories and empty buildings that we have all over the state.
Mm-hmm.
Because they would want to be first in line. They want to get them at a good price. And, I could stand that kind of growth in my community, and I hope your listeners could stand that kind of growth in their community. But that's what the fair tax is all about. It's not only having a transparent and fair tax for everybody, but is the key to bringing jobs back to Michigan.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Again, my opinion is my opinion, but I hope the full information gets out there, and I hope we can get her on the ballot, certainly by 2014, so everybody in Michigan can make that decision for us, too. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Don.
Don Dabrowski, who is State Media Director and Newsletter Editor for MI Michigan Fair Tax, and that's their website, mifairtax.org. Good luck with the effort and getting the word out, and I'm on your list, keep sending those emails and keep us informed.
Gentlemen, thank you for your time, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on today.
You're very welcome. Keep up the effort. Thank you.
Bye now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Don Dabrowski, as I just said, from Michigan Fair Tax, mifairtax.org. I wish it was in place now so I wouldn't have that extra document I had to do this weekend or even the one for the federal government.
I had a question for you about this. Mm-hmm. Do you think it makes more sense to roll it out on a state level first? I think we've had this discussion where states can use other states as models to figure it out before it goes on a national level, or do you think it makes no difference?
Well, I think it's less controversial because, for the federal government to do away with income tax mm-hmm. and all that withholding, because the federal government costs an awful lot more for each of us to run. State government is cheap by comparison for the state of Michigan to do what it's doing. But, of course, federal government services, you can list them, and all those wars and so on. If we want to continue paying for them, it costs a bundle. So the current national fair tax proposal would be to have a new tax on all things that you buy of about 27% to 30%.
Wow.
Now, there's still the prebate checks coming from the federal government, too, which would help the poor people. But imagine, and this has already been used against a Republican running in a race against Gary Peters 2 years ago for Congress, because that Republican said, I'm for the fair tax. So Gary Peters, a Democrat, his office did the negative campaigning thing, which everybody does these days, and they gave the very slanted and unfair attack that, don't vote for this Republican against Gary Peters because he wants to raise your sales taxes 30%. And they just stopped there. Mm-hmm. They didn't explain that, but that means no more income tax ever. No more withholding, which is a huge chunk out of your check, but most people don't even if I ask somebody how many dollars a week is being withheld by the federal government, they don't even know. Because they never see it.
You see at the end of the year when you're doing your taxes, you see how much was withheld.
But you don't realize how many hundreds of dollars per week, perhaps, mm-hmm. if not thousands, is coming out as withholding. That wouldn't be there. You'd have all that extra cash. And so it would definitely balance out. It's revenue neutral even for the federal government. But that's the single, the selling point. Mm-hmm. It's easier to sell a mere 3.75% sales tax increase in Michigan than to sell all of a sudden another 30% sales tax for the federal government fair tax.
But it wouldn't be another 30. It would be in place of your income tax.
That's right. It's all going to balance out. It's just a different way to collect it.
Sure, sure.
And it would do away with all those 67,000 pages of exemptions and deductions and make it really fair.
When I do these city council meetings with the Press and Guide, they're all the last couple meetings, they've said, folks, we're running out of things to cut. In other words, we can only cut so much. Mm-hmm. But you know what? This fair tax seems, the consumption tax seems to shift the model from saving and making cuts to generating more revenue. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even, Obama talks about, right now I have information here whether or not we get to it this hour, because we got a couple of big Dearborn stories to cover from this week. We may get back to it. The Buffett rule.
Sure.
Warren Buffett said, I pay less than my secretary in federal taxes, and that's because of all the deductions and the fact that his investments give him money, just like Mitt Romney. Romney's living mostly on his investments.
His interest, sure.
And it's called capital gains.
Right.
It's the profit from his stocks and bonds, which tops off at 15%. So that's all he's paying to the federal government, Romney, with his millions. I don't think he's a billionaire yet, Romney, but hundreds of millions he has, and he's only paying 15%. Well, President Obama has proposed a Buffett rule, as he's calling it, that would demand that everybody, no matter what your deductions, withholding, whatever, the minimum you'll pay in that top tax bracket is 30%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so it doesn't matter about capital gains or what they are. You'd have to pay 30%.
That's almost 10% more than Obama paid. Seriously.
Yeah. But when you're at that level, it seems little enough to pay. But fair tax? Oh, my goodness. Then everything you buy, Romney's several homes, the remodeling of his homes, all those services for mm-hmm. remodeling, and the cars, the multiple cars he and other rich people own, they're going to pay taxes on that. Okay, if they buy a used house, even a huge mansion, if it's used, they won't pay any taxes. So, but if they buy anything new, and I'm sure they will. By the way, we've got a lot of really great used things in our society that people should
recycle.
Perhaps be buying. It's great for recycling.
Absolutely.
You don't want a used car if it's not in good shape, but a lot of people don't consider used cars because, well, there's not enough value there. But if you don't pay that extra 30% in tax or an extra sales tax in for a Michigan fair tax, it might become a really wise choice. And I just think that there's no bad side to this except for the people don't like the concept. And that's it, the concept, not the reality, but the concept of, let's say, corporations not paying any tax up front. You know,
what you're saying is you can pick this apart, nitpick it by little things, but overall...
I'm going to lose my home mortgage deduction. Well, in many ways, if you really look at this, folks, and I read some article last week, that home mortgage deduction really doesn't help you. It doesn't help home sales. And I know you say, well, look, it's a deduction on income tax. Well, if you don't have income tax, you don't have to worry about
deductions. Deduction, there it is.
Okay?
There's the bottom line.
It doesn't really balance out. It's not really good for the country if you look at the more complicated big picture about the economic situation here. So, and I know the biggest conceptual problem is, oh, it will be a big change. I'm scared of big change. But this has been worked on for 20 years. Not that Koronick thought this up last night. You know, other people much smarter than me have written books on the fair tax. Go check them out. Read them. Download them as ebooks, whatever. Study this. It's not that complicated. And, you know, what I'm not in favor of is the flat tax.
Mm-hmm.
Which just means, well, at the end of the year, everybody pays the same percent, and somebody says it has to be like 22%. But there's still withholding. There's still the IRS. There's no exemptions.
Right.
But there's no prebate either.
Right.
All those poor people. I feel sorry for them. So that's the fair tax. The flat tax starts with an F also. But that's not, I don't think that's a good idea. I mean, I know it would work, but it would hurt all the poor people. And I think the poor people have been hurt enough around here, other than the fact that they don't have jobs or health care
or other things
going for them. So I don't think the flat tax is a good idea. But this is the fair tax with the prebates. And just you'd still pay property taxes. It doesn't replace the property tax, but those keep going down.
We just kind of looked at each other when Don brought that up. But yeah, they said in Michigan they were really high, and I thought
they're really low. The people that are complaining, according to Don, or if we asked Don, I'm sure he would. It's the businesses.
Sure, absolutely.
It's the taxes on property owned by Ford, and it hasn't dropped down as much as home property.
You're exactly
taxes.
Right.
So even Governor Snyder said we have to find a way to replace the property taxes. And first of all, they're not bringing any income into the state from residential, but the businesses, of course, they've got their lawyers. They have to complain about something. So the businesses, the corporations of Michigan, don't like the property taxes right now. They feel they're still too high for them and the way that they get assessed.
But the personal property taxes evaluated.
Obviously, they're dropping like crazy.
But they're also
still
reevaluating that right now in the state.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
All right.
Moving on. We want to let you have a couple of opinions from
Hightower.
Jim Hightower, yep, and we're going to report on the late breaking news on, we already mentioned about City Hall is perhaps going to be sold last week. We mentioned that to our chair. That hasn't happened yet, but here's the Hightower ideas, and we'll come back a couple of late breaking stories from Dearborn and the surrounding area on the Journal. WHFR.FM, the station, making waves.
Woody Guthrie wrote a song titled Jolly Banker, a perfect pitch parody of the propensity of Depression-era bankers to feel good about gouging small borrowers. Woody's song could also apply to the gouging we're getting from today's national chain banks, except the song's title should be Snarling Banker. Only a couple of years ago, Bank of America, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, and others were quite jolly because they were piling up mountains of profits through such sneaky schemes as secretly enrolling customers in checking accounts that charged $35 a pop for every overdrawn check, then rigging the flow of checks so unwitting customers would be overdrawn. Public outrage exploded, especially because only a year earlier, we the people had bailed out these same banks. Thus, Congress shut down some of the worst gouges. This pinched bankers' exorbitant profits a bit, and they've been snarling ever since. Banks aren't charities, they bark, apparently thinking that somebody might have mistaken them as such. One thing you can count on is that banker greed is bottomless, and it's now coming back with a vengeance. Of course, they could make money honestly, as community banks and credit unions do, by making good loans and delivering good service. But instead, they're returning to what they call creative banking. You would call it fee gouging. Wells Fargo now hits you for $15 a month just to have a checking account, unless you keep at least $7,500 in your account. Citibank charges $20 a month unless you keep $15,000 on deposit, more than double last year's level. Bank fees for money orders have doubled, and fees for cashier's checks have quadrupled. This is Jim Hightower saying there is a way out of this endless abuse-the-consumer game. Move your money out of their vaults. For help, go to moveyourmoneyproject.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at hightowerlowdown.org.
Mitt Romney is right. Barack Obama and his Oval Office cell of insidious socialists are strangling American corporations with the red tape of federal regulations. For example, look at what the Food and Drug Administration did to poor little Pfizer, the drug maker that markets an Alzheimer's medicine called Aricept. This pill delivers $2 billion a year in sales. But, alas, its monopoly patent was set to expire in 2010, opening the door for cheaper generic versions. So, with a wink and a grin, Aricept's maker asked FDA regulators to extend its monopoly. Why? Because it had come up with a new version. Actually, the new was the same as the old, except more than twice the dosage. But FDA's dastardly medical researchers said no. Why? Their pathetic excuse was that the goosed-up potency produced practically no benefits to Alzheimer's sufferers while causing severe side effects that could kill elderly patients. See, it's this kind of socialistic picky-pickiness that proves how unfriendly the Obamacans are to corporate interests. After all, what are a few dead old people compared to monopoly profits in corporate coffers? But wait, amazingly, justice prevailed. Dr. Russell Katz, a top FDA official, suddenly stepped in and overruled the agency's scientists. While Katz did admit that the more potent Aricept pill could cause, quote, increased mortality, he asserted that it most likely would improve the overall functionality of patients who survived. Never mind that actual clinical tests of the juiced-up drug showed no such improvement. The important thing is that some Obama regulators seem at last to be heeding Mitt Romney's message that we must coddle corporations, not challenge them. This is Jim Hightower saying, Obama, as well as you and me, have to decide which side we're on, people or profits. Mitt says the choice is simple.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
So what do you think about that, huh? It's jimhightower.com if you want to look at more points of view or opinions about him. This is Jay Kornick, and Dennis Reimar is here for the WHFR Journal. And what's happening in the news in Dearborn? Well, first of all, yes, it was finally passed by the Dearborn Planning Commission.
Boy, that took a while.
Yep. Goodwill is their project in West Dearborn, is going to be going ahead. The old Inca computer store, which had been vacant, I think, 10 years or
something.
I just wanted to say, Dennis, I was reading, too, Goodwill is doing great business in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
In Traverse City, which is a upscale community,
sure
you
is.
Might say. You know, I know a tourist area, but very upscale these days. It's you know, the rich rich homes, rich people, property values have not dropped because I thought of relocating there maybe after my retirement and can't afford the houses anymore.
No.
But I mean, they haven't gone up a lot, but they haven't dropped at all. And so it's a, well, guess what? The number one best best functioning store for Goodwill in the state of Michigan is in Traverse City.
Well,
and they've got three other stores in the Traverse City area in addition.
There's one in Ludington.
They're all over, and they're doing good business, which means people can buy things reasonably priced that they need, and you can recycle. You can donate the stuff you don't need, and it will go to people that need it. And you can get a tax credit as long as you can get deductions.
Right.
which I'm not in favor of. But so I'm saying, why shouldn't Dearborn be in on this? Again, my daughter and many other people, and I'm glad it squeaked through by 5-4.
Yeah.
Everybody showed up after 3-4 months of complaining that how dare these people hang up a proposal? I mean, either voter up or vote, but if you're appointed by the mayor to work on a commission, show up. It's sure, you might be sick or you got a family emergency. All right. But come on. Usually these commissions are not well attended. They get nothing done because they don't even have a quorum. They can't even do a vote of those remaining because they need a majority or like 2/3 of the people who were appointed to show up before they can have a vote. So it passed by one vote. I won't say who was on whatever side. It doesn't really matter now. The Goodwill Project is going ahead. In West Dearborn, and they think they can be up and running in 3-4 months. So you can't just have all these vacant buildings here. Goodwill is a fine organization, and they do a good service for the environment and for the communities they're in. This is not going to be a negative property value situation.
Absolutely not.
I totally believe it won't. My daughter said she's going to go down. She shops at Value World most of the time.
Sure.
Now,
you know how many people that'll employ? You know, as well as stocking and cashiers.
Well,
I mean,
a few people.
Well,
yeah,
right.
Dozen,
it won't be
maybe.
Hundreds. I don't mean that, but it's still more work, more jobs. Yeah. So there you go.
You know, and I think it'll engender, because if people are going to that shopping center area, which has a lot more vacancies too.
Yeah, it does.
Then maybe another business will want to relocate right next door.
Sure. You know, you have to believe if the businesses are leaving, it's a contagious thing.
Yeah, I agree. I'm so happy that the Planning Commission, even though it was a tough battle, just to get people to show up, at least they did.
Well,
so.
You know, is that the stretch where Joanne Fabris used to be on the far end, I would believe the west side, and now that's been taken over. Family Dollar moved in.
And I think it's the same further down. Michaels is in the shape.
Michaels is now gone because they're up on the hill. Yep. Right. So still Bellacino's is there. You have the hardware store, and then you
on
have
the far end. Hardware
on the far
store.
End, right.
And far, far down, I think, Lapita.
Oh, yeah, good call.
Way down.
But CVS used to be there, and they're no longer there.
No.
Everybody's gone. Yep. So good for the Goodwill.
Yep. I was driving by last Saturday on Ford Road to buy some Easter flowers in Dearborn Heights. But Terry Jones was speaking at that time at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I counted them, 13 Dearborn police cars.
Cars or policemen?
Well, I assume they had at least 13 people to drive them there.
Well, yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the huge number of police all over. And this was, of course, near the Islamic Center on the so-called Church Street there, whatever it is, Religion Row or whatever. Because there's some Protestant church,
I think, an Armenian church, too.
Yeah. Okay. There was 7 Dearborn Heights cop cars, and that's got to be the whole police force from Dearborn Heights. And I was wondering, maybe I should ask the mayor, how many police cars do we have in Dearborn?
Right.
Because I don't think we have too many more than 13. Maybe we do. Obviously, that probably shouldn't be public information because somebody's going to have a riot since there's only 13 cop cars in Dearborn. Of course, remember, we got a few tanks.
There's some tanks and some SWAT vehicles.
Yeah, we got some SWAT armored cars,
too.
So.
We have unmarked cars, too, but this isn't Mayberry, but I see what you're saying.
There was an ambulance with a full medical staff.
Just in case.
And how many people? Well, there was Jones and his friend and about a dozen people.
No kidding.
20 at the most at any point in time that
any
was
signs.
Listening to him. So his supporters and a couple signs.
Right.
There was nothing happening.
CNN
nothing.
Wasn't there?
And, of course, he was allowed to speak only because, although city negotiations with him about who's liable for what and will you sign this agreement. This is in the paper. I got to read the quote.
It's right here.
Yeah.
It's a hold harmless thing. It's unconstitutional.
Yeah. Right. A district court judge, I think it's Denise Hood.
No, it was a federal court judge.
District court.
Okay.
Was it federal district court? I don't know what it is.
Well, federal court said that it was unconstitutional. That was the last one. They're the one that put the restraint.
U.S. district court.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's got to be federal,
gotcha.
Right?
Yep.
U.S. district judge Denise Page Hood.
That's right.
Blasted the city of Dearborn's demand that Jones and his supporters sign a hold harmless agreement in order to obtain a permit to speak against Islam in front of Dearborn's Islamic Center of America.
Right.
And here's her quote. And good for her. I mean, I believe in freedom of speech. We have the most right to free speech of any country in the world, the least government censorship, in spite of the Patriot Act and some other things that are very dangerous and should be repealed. But, and she said, quote, it is well recognized that an ordinance which grants an administrative body or government official unfettered discretion to regulate the licensing of activities protected by the First Amendment is unconstitutional. So good for her.
Yep.
Dearborn has, you might say, erred on the side of safety.
Sure.
For decades in regard to free speech and public gatherings. That's their line. My line, or my spin on that, is we have been far too much hampered free speech in Dearborn.
Let's be clear here. This is not to say that you support anything that Pastor Jones says support his right to say
right.
it.
And good for the Muslim followers and the Muslim mosques in Dearborn that said, hey, don't turn out. Yeah, it's your right to do a counter protest.
Sure.
But this guy doesn't deserve the attention. He didn't deserve the 13 Dearborn police cars and the 7 Dearborn Heights police cars or the ambulance. He has a follower. His followers showed up, and there was like a dozen.
Right.
Let him meet. I mean, if you don't agree, don't go there. Don't give him the media opportunity. If you already know what he's going to say and you don't agree with him, I mean, if you're interested to go to listen, fine. But he's already well indicated what his positions are.
Right.
And if you don't agree, why go and heckle even? It's only going to cause more upset. And just think of the expense and the time of all these police. And it was terrible. Dearborn has overreacted to speaking engagements over the years, time and time again. And they've almost always been found to have an unconstitutional stand when it has come up to a court ruling.
Right.
Even Judge Summers, who gave a little fine and put Jones in jail for a day or something.
Well, Jones chose to go to jail instead of pay the buck.
Right. But that was later reversed by higher court.
Right. Right.
Because Summers had gone too far even.
Yeah.
We had Judge Summers here 2 weeks ago. We didn't ask him about that. But I'm sure he's just trying to, I want to be protective of Dearborn.
I'm sure he'd say that.
And the mayor would feel that way too. But give me a break. This is just, you know, a waste of taxpayer resources to go this far to deny somebody their free speech when the courts have clearly ruled we shouldn't be going that far. But, okay, you got a dozen people. You got his picture on the paper, in the paper, which I don't even think they should have done that. But they had to report on it since the city of Dearborn made it such a big deal.
Right.
The city of Dearborn are the people that gave him the publicity here.
Yes.
So, you know, if you want to speak, fine. In fact, if they're going to redo City Hall, as I said, they should have an official public forum where people can get up and speak anytime they want to. You know,
and indoors, right?
Indoors, yeah. Let's heat it and let's have a, you know, sign out front who's going to speak on what topic, which day.
That's a great idea.
That's fine with me.
Sure.
And I even felt, and of course, people say it'd be boring, donate a locked camera cable TV channel. That's it. Just do it. And everybody's only got like 5 minutes each or 10 minutes each, but, you know, once a week, no more than that, they get a chance to do their 5 minutes, you know?
Well, I mean, they can do that after city council meetings now. Anyway,
well,
it just isn't
right.
recorded. Yeah. And It might be on TV, but you're right. If this is something that is dedicated to that, that would be an interesting concept.
Don't have a lot of time left. There was a train station launch ceremony on Tuesday that I attended, along with a select group of VIPs, head of Amtrak, head of MDOT in Michigan, Mayor O'Reilly, of course, Senator Carl Levin and John Dingell. I have this part of the speech from MDOT, that's Michigan Department of Transportation Director, Kurt Studel. And I didn't know the man, and he's not a big-time charismatic guy, but he's head of all of Michigan Department of Transportation issues, including like roads and so on. And this wasn't reported in other press. What he said, it was pretty exciting. And take a listen here, 2 minutes and 41 seconds. Kurt Studel, Studele, MDOT director.
It was a tremendous day about a month ago or so, and February 14th, actually. And I can't wait to the day that we're sitting here and get on the train and we ride 110 all the way to Chicago. It's coming. This really is the future of this region. We also tend to look a little broader. We're thinking of the next piece. In our mind, this is already done. And I know there's some staff here that are saying, yeah, right. We still got some negotiations to do. We got some track improvements to do. But we're going to Toronto. And this connection needs to go to Toronto, to Chicago, to St. Louis. Frankly, it ought to go to Montreal. And when we look as a Midwest, that's okay. You when we look at the Midwest, and you start looking at the population base, the economic power of a corridor between Chicago, Detroit, Toronto, and St. Louis on the other, and Montreal, that's a third of the nation's population, and that's a pretty significant economic engine as well. So there's a tremendous opportunity for us in the future. We've got lots of challenges ahead, as the administrator said. We're going to be hopefully closing soon with Norfolk and Southern on this track, and we can start the real work to bring it up to speeds as well. It really, this is a connection. If we just go further to the east, you end up at the Detroit station, which is right on Woodward Avenue. That aligns with the bus rapid transit, aligns with the M1 rail, aligns with getting to downtown, out to Pontiac, wherever. This is a critical piece of the region's transportation network. And while we think a lot about how do we move people, the other aspect is we continue to have to move freight, and we got to move goods. The mayor mentioned earlier about Wayne and the Wayne Assembly Plant and the fact that there's new cars rolling off of there. One of our discussions with the FRA and with Norfolk Southern was, how do we make sure that we've got adequate capacity to make sure that that plant can get its products out of there and that it's not held up by the passenger trains? Kind of the flip, right? So there's discussions to make sure that that is accommodated as well. Because when we look at rail service in Michigan, it's about moving people, yes. But it's also about continuing to be economically competitive to move goods. Goods means there's jobs. Good means there's people working in factories. So it's great to be here. Patricia, thanks for pulling this event together. Senator, Congressman, thanks for your support. And Mayor, I'll turn it back to you. Thank you all very much.
Wow, that little bit of Jim Hightower excitement there.
Was that noise?
Yeah, the noise. I should have introduced it again out there at Greenfield Village, and the big VIPs came in on the steam locomotive that goes around the village, the perimeter of the village, and they left it sort of like idling there, and so it sounded like somebody was sneezing into the microphone every 30 seconds. That's the sound of old-time steam locomotive.
But they were working on the track.
Sort of a historic continuity there from the old to the new, and he said back in February, he started by saying that they did a test from Kalamazoo to Chicago. They actually got the trains up to 110 miles an hour for 80-mile stretch there.
That's nice.
And that's what they intend to do for the whole trip from within 5 years from Dearborn to Chicago. And the point he was making, too, because even Dearborn Mayor O'Reilly said to me afterwards, he said, well, I know a lot of people, you know, probably won't come from, and in fact, the Press and Guide has this in their headline, does this mean more business for Dearborn? You know, how many people are going to come from Chicago, big-time windy city, to Dearborn?
Right.
Just for Greenfield Village? Mm. Shopping at Fairlane Town Center?
To the Journal?
Yeah, right. Well, just to listen to the Journal live. You know, I could stand outside our windows here in the Student Center of Henry Ford Community College.
That's and, right.
Yeah, that would be really exciting for them from Chicago. No, it's like it's the business, too. Sure, I'd use it to go to Chicago and Toronto. Alrighty, I used to go to Toronto a lot, and you say, well, in fact, I ask, O'Reilly pointed out, hey, the Focus, the Ford Focus, for the whole country, they make Ford Focus in Wayne, and they're going to make the hybrid and the gas engine one and the electric Focus. They already are. Well, not the hybrid yet, but the electric one is already in production out there, and they need to get a spur so they can get delivery to the whole darn country right on the train line, and 110 miles an hour, too. A Focus at 110 right. miles an hour. That'll be something.
Only way it's getting up to 100.
Well, there's going to be a Focus ST next year, and okay. That'll do 110. Right. Oh, yeah, baby. Okay. But it's, by the way, the Ford Focus in Wayne is 80% U.S. All the parts, not just the fact that U.S. workers are putting it together. This is so exciting. And yes, and they need a delivery system out of Wayne, and the train will be there for them, and it's so wonderful. Oh, and I asked, finally on this point, I asked O'Reilly, so how, do they need the second bridge to Canada to get a rail crossing?
Right, right.
And he reminded me, he said, no, they'll just use the rail tunnel.
Yep,
there's a separate tunnel that's for freight rail that apparently at Stoodle, and in fact, even O'Reilly didn't realize that Stoodle from MDOT is in negotiations with Canada, obviously, to make a passenger connection.
It's amazing.
Not only to Toronto, but to and further north, and to, for them to improve their tracks to get higher speed, too.
Right.
I've ridden Can-Am from Windsor to Toronto, and it's great,
so
but
yep.
It's much faster than U.S. Rail. So very exciting stuff, and yes, within 5 years, maybe we'll get to Toronto or Chicago at 110 miles an hour and you know, less hassle, quicker than a plane even. At that point, because the hassle of waiting for the plane, getting to the airport 2 hours in advance, and getting on board, and so on.
Now, you're going to have to talk to the mayor on, what is it, the 24th?
Yes.
And I'm sure
this
is...
A week from next Tuesday, folks.
Right.
Very important. Special Tuesday edition from 1 to 2 o'clock with Mayor John B. O'Reilly Jr. right here during our Radiothon Pledge Week for WHFR.
Of course, that'll be podcast as well, right?
And we'll archive it so you can listen to it. And on the Journal in 2 weeks from today, we'll have a special Radiothon edition featuring all of our different forum hosts that do well, things like We Are Not Alone and Metaphysically Speaking, and I'm not sure Mike can make it, and Parent Connection. And so it'd be a great time talking to, because you might listen to the Journal, but you don't listen to our other talk shows. Shame on you. We got a lot going on here, and of course we need your support during Radiothon week to donate, to make a pledge to us, but let's not worry about that right now. Before the end of the hour, I have to say a sad farewell. I hope it's au revoir, not adieu, to Dennis Reimars, our WHFR news director, my co-host for about the last year or so, at least.
Almost 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years. Wow, time goes by.
Yeah.
And Dennis has a job in radio somewhere else. They're going to pay him money for the first time.
Real money, yes.
Oh, my gosh. Tell us about it, Dennis.
My wife and I are moving up to Ludington, Michigan. The radio station is WMOM, Always Listen to Your Mom.
Of course.
And it is 4 blocks from Lake Michigan. I will actually be up there on Monday. Kind of a special, I wasn't scheduled to go up this quickly, but there's a big trial going on, and they want me as in my capacity as a news person, a reporter, mm-hmm. up there, because they have a news director. I would be helping cover the trial, one of three people on the team. And after that, I will, in fact, have a radio, a song playing show, a music show.
Yeah.
For an hour Monday through mm-hmm. Friday from 12 to 1. It's called, Jay, ready? Attack mm-hmm. of the 90s.
Whoa.
And I will play 90s music, which, of course, you know, my kids grew up in the 90s, so I'll just talk.
I don't remember the 90s. It's all a blur.
A little fuzzy. Anyway, so I'll do that, as well as I'll do some production work, some promotional work, some sales management work, a lot of different things, and they give me the opportunity to do everything.
You have to go, or you have to start in the media business, especially for radio or broadcast radio, broadcast TV, in the so-called smaller markets.
Sure, absolutely.
First, because, you know, there's less... in what would you say, less stress,
less competition,
for sure. And you get a chance to show your skills and do what you want, and then
the standards
later,
aren't quite as high, I think. Would you agree?
Well, perhaps, because there isn't the demand for
exactly.
that kind of extra intensity in the small markets. But some people who say, well, that's a stepping stone to the bigger markets. Go to Chicago
Not
or Detroit someday. A lot of people, and one of my best friends from the past, Richard Pyatt, he was my assistant general manager back in the 90s. He's a news director for three stations in Kalamazoo.
Wonderful.
Right now. And, he's so talented. He's just such a great news person and talk show host and so on. He's chosen to stay there because he loves it. I mean, he's so good. Oh, he could go to a major market in a day, but he likes the city. It's comprehensible to him, and he gets a nice salary too. It's WCO.
Just got to have another letter. WCO.
No, it's only a three-letter, just like WJR. But
I see.
Yeah, but whatever it is, Richard, if you're listening, sorry. But
good job.
I mean, it's not necessary that people coming to WHFR go to a job in radio. I said, well, that's what it's there for, is
yes
the vocational training. There's so many other skills that you learn.
Sure.
Critical thinking and working with the team and understanding marketing, promotion, and that's what you need in a small station. You got to know a little bit of everything, and you're going to do really well from mom radio, Dennis.
Well,
I know you will.
I appreciate that. And I met them, and this is just another wonderful thing about this wonderful station, WHFR. And let me say before, because I know we're ending here,
mm-hmm.
thank you for everything. Your influence has been unbelievably positive. You have been, I think, the single strongest influence in my life for the last few years.
Oh, my God.
No, I mean that, Jay. I mean, from the bottom of my heart.
Stop.
I want to thank you. The reality is that I went to the MAB, the